Triple M's Big Breakfast Catch-Up, thanks to Budweiser, official beer of the FIFA World Cup.
Hello, this is the Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull speaking, and it's time for this week's Superb Suburb. And this week, my superb suburb is Manly on beautiful Moreton Bay. Not dissimilar to its harbourside namesake in the wonderful state of New South Wales, current holders of the state of origin. Sorry to rub it in, Queensland, but suck it up. The Blues are victorious and triumphant. I even know the captain's name. It's Boy Cordner. Go, Boydie Boy.
Oh, now, back to the script.
Yeah, all right, I'm sorry. I got carried away. Yes, not unlike Manly in Sydney, Manly is on the water where everybody should live, like me. Manly, with its pumping marina, is expensive. The medium house price is quite high, so riffraff are kept at bay for the most part. Kept at bay. Loose, I'm doing puns on the wireless. Because Manly is sheltered from the elements, it became popular for boating, and in 1958, the boat harbour was made, created behind large sea walls. The marina was dredged and the silt from the bay was used in the construction of foreshore parks and gardens. Now that is ingenuity, reusing and recycling. Good on them. But I really don't like the word silt. Ooh, yuck. The original peoples populating the area were the Mipperam Aboriginal people who wandered the larger Moreton Bay area but weren't into boating or yachting, but they probably had a kayak, like I do. Have I ever told you how much I like kayaking? Because I do. I love it. So whether you're a member of the Wynnum Manly Yacht Club, the Moreton Bay Trailer Boat Club, the Darling Point Sailing Squadron, the Multi-Hull Club of Australia, the Brisbane Coast Guard, the Australian Volunteer Coast Guard, or the Royal Queensland Yacht Squadron, or if you've got a shirtload of cash, get on a launch yacht, dinghy or kayak and get to Manly, because it's terrific. Manly, you are this week's superb suburb.
Okay, if you're a fan of Facebook, you've probably seen doing the rounds in the last week or two because my 13-year-old pointed it out to me. It's a Canadian dog with a blue light on its back giving a pretend resuscitation to its owner.
This is great. You showed it to me yesterday.
It is the world's cutest thing. We will put it up on our own Triple M Facebook page. But then I started to Google about actually animals being resuscitated, whether they can resuscitate us or, more importantly, if we can resuscitate them. And I found an article about a Townsville man who has managed to resuscitate a frog.
Oh, get stuffed.
No, seriously. His name is Jamie Chappell. He's from Chappell Pest Control in Townsville and he's on the line. Hey, Jamie.
G'day, how you going?
What happened? Good, thank you. What happened with this frog?
Look, I've got called out to do a snake relocation. And when I've basically gone to do the job, I've rocked up to the place and The snake was there and had a lump in its belly, and I thought, oh, it's just eaten. So as I've approached it a couple more steps towards it, it's regurgitated this frog. Oh. So I've caught the snake and bagged it up, and I said to the lady, I said, do you want me to remove the frog for you? And she goes, yeah, okay. So, and when I went to go pick it up, it had a bit of a twitch in its leg. And I thought, I think this thing's still alive. I thought, I'm gonna try and resuscitate it or, you know, revive it.
Well, it's got all, you know, stuff on it from being inside the snake as well, so you had to dry it off.
Yeah, yeah. So I washed off, basically, it's covered in blood and mucus. Yeah. I washed that off, and I put him on his back and just started little mini compressions for about a minute. And then,
what, pumping its heart?
Yeah, yeah, just pumping, trying to get some air into it. And look, about a minute later, it kicked and come back to life, hey.
And then what? You just put it on the ground and it hopped away?
Oh, no. So what happened then was I got a container off the lady and I brought him home. He had some pretty deep cuts in his back from the snake's teeth.
Yeah.
And so basically he's been in rehab for the last few weeks, but he's due for release in the next week or two.
Jamie, rehab at your house in the jar?
Yeah. I do a bit of frog rehabilitation while I'm at it. A few reptiles as well. So he's been in his little hospital bed in the lounge room for the last couple of weeks.
Oh, you're amazing! How big's the bed?
His favourite spot's actually in an old coffee mug he's living in at the moment. He loves it.
Jamie, I've heard of people doing dogs. This is the only time I've heard of an animal other than a dog being. I've seen people give mouth to mouth to dogs. Yeah.
No, look, I've done it before on a little blue tongue lizard. And brought that back to life, and I thought, it's just something I do, you know what I mean?
A snake? Have you ever done a snake?
No, definitely not. No, not yet. But, you know, I see quite a few of them, so... Yeah, but it all just helps, I suppose. If you can breed just one, I've helped Mother Nature along the way.
If I can recommend a great YouTube video to you, go to the monkey resuscitating another monkey at an Indian railway station.
That's amazing. Jamie, thank you so much.
No worries.
I do want to find out if other people have ever resuscitated an animal, and we should open it up a little bit if an animal's ever resuscitated a human.
An animal has not resuscitated a human.
It has been able to.
There was a
video that went viral during the week of a police dog being taught CPR.
Yeah, that one's okay. We've spoken about that, but in normal life, that was a training exercise.
Well, let's find out. And if you have resuscitated an animal and been successful, maybe a cat or a chicken.
Have you ever given CPR to an elephant?
A chicken?
No one awake. We've got a full board. Let's find out. Karen of the Gold Coast, what have you done CPR on?
On a turkey.
On a turkey?
On a turkey.
What are the circumstances?
Circumstances is a turkey is a little bit dumb. They look up when it rains. So I've come out after a downpour and found this poor turkey slumped in a puddle. So I've picked him up, put my mouth over his beak and blown into his beak and then turned him upside down and gave him a shake and he seemed to come alive after that.
Gobbled back to life.
Can we go back to the start of that? He looked up when, did he drown on the rain or something? I missed that bit.
Yeah, I've heard turkeys, they look up to see what's going on.
What?
And the water goes down their nose holes and they drown.
How have they survived so long?
I don't know.
Was he your pet turkey?
Well, we bought a few. This turkey was about 4 or 5 months old.
So you're not talking a scrub turkey?
No. This was a turkey to be eaten.
That's why you kept him alive to fatten him up. Jeez, Karen.
What's going through the turkey's mind, though? Karen's kissing me. I bet she's hangs close to you these days, looking for a bit more.
Well, we ended up eating him not long after that.
Karen, that's a horrible story. You kept him alive so you could kill him.
Was he good eating, though, Karen? Was he delicious?
He was delicious.
Yeah. Oh, really? Oh my God.
You're personally involved, Karen.
Yes. We've got a green tree
frog. We're taking you off the case.
And a turkey, Peter of Pimpamar. What have you done CPR on? Or a friend has. What was it?
No, I had a little white kitten. And we had a white lamb's wool covering on our lounge.
Yes.
And the little kitten was asleep. And one of my friends sat on it for about 10, 15 minutes.
Oh. What?
Yeah, when we eventually realised, he was a little bit flat. Uh-huh. So he had to be blown back into size.
Yes.
And then I massaged his heart for a little bit and he came back to life.
Hold on, so you did a couple of breaths, then massage, true CPR style?
Yes.
Right. But Peter, what was he gone for too long? Did he come back or was he brain damaged?
Oh, he came back, but he was a little bit loose after that.
Was he? I bet you he was wary of your mates.
Like my brother.
Mate, he'd bounce off the wall.
Did he survive a long time, Pete?
Yeah, he survived for the next 6 weeks.
Until
he met the rear tyre of my Holden Gemini.
Okay.
Oh.
Gemini did it.
What an ignominious end to be run over by a Gemini.
The lounge, then the Gemini.
Tortured life.
Oh, God.
What is going on?
That'll do, mate.
Terry of Alex Hills, you've done CPR on a kangaroo.
We did. Myself and my friends were walking along the beach. This was a few years ago, and we could see a dot in the surf. And we thought it was a dog. We saw it was in trouble, so we waded in, and then when we got there, we went, oh, my gosh, it's a kangaroo. So we pulled it out by its tail. It was pretty lifeless by then.
Oh.
Got it up onto the beach, and I'm an ex-nurse, so I thought, well, I'll give it a go. You know, so I started doing compressions on its chest, it eventually coughed and threw up everywhere, all the water and everything, got up, didn't even say goodbye, just thank you, and just
away.
So rude. Away. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So rude.
That's unbelievable.
Yes.
Where were you? What beach?
Down at Pottsville.
Yeah, righto.
How the hell did it get into the water? What an idiot.
Sometimes they cross creeks. A lot of the locals there say that they get driven into the water by the dogs.
Well, you saved its life, Terry. Oh, yeah. Well done, you.
Never saw that episode of All Saints.
well, at least it was a good ending. You know,
you didn't eat it.
Today have been not good endings.
Yes, we know.
That's right. You didn't eat it or shockers. Run over it.
Thanks, Terry. And
hey, Robin.
Robin.
Hey, how you go, guys? Yeah,
what happened, mate, with you? What sort of animal was it?
It was a barramundi.
Oh, that'll do, mate.
Okay, yes. So you're in the Northern Territory and you drag in a barra. What happened?
Oh, it was actually my father. It was in a tank. It was in a 2.5 metre tank. We had a big freshwater prawn in there. It was about a 1/2 metre long prawn, you know, about claw to tail. Yeah. The barramundi killed it one day because it was about 65 centimetres long.
Yeah.
And of course, we didn't notice. Water went about blue. Barramundi was on the bottom of the tank upside down. Thought, yeah, it's going to be dead for sure. My father comes home, discovers it, and while it was there, it stopped breathing. So we whipped it out, chucked it into a tub, and got the oxyacetylene set out, and started blowing air through its gills, and bloody thing came back. Oh, sorry.
No, you're good.
Well, I don't get the oxyacetylene. What normally used for welding, of course. What did you do with it?
Well, you use the oxygen through it, and then you just move through the gills of the barra.
Okay, can I ask a question? If you're trying to bring back a fish, you don't do it through its mouth.
Through
is that what
gills.
You're saying?
Yeah, through its gills. Yeah, you just blew the air through its gills.
My God.
That's so
amazing.
Weird.
But didn't breathe in there. They used the tank.
In the tank, yeah. So we chucked in another tank, and it came good, and it went on to live a long life in a walk-through aquarium.
Are you telling me no one ended up eating it?
Oh, no, it was a pet.
Yeah. Oh,
that's, but that's a lovely story, Robin.
It was a family member.
Wow.
That's like Storm Boy with a barramundi.
What an extraordinary day. Have we got time for one more, David?
This is weird.
David from Sunny Coast. What animal, what happened?
I was speaking to a vet down in New South Wales. A farmer rang him. He accidentally drowned his bull in the dip. And he said, I'll be right out there. When the vet got out there, the farmer got the bull out of the dip and he was resuscitating it or trying to with the backhoe, the scoop on a backhoe.
Oh, right, using compressions.
Compression with the backhoe.
Did he succeed?
I think he may have broken a few ribs and unfortunately I don't think he successfully revived the bull.
So he drowned it, then he just crushed its organs with his backhoe.
That's pretty much what happened.
But, but he gave it a crack.
That's the way he would have wanted to go.
Yeah, it was worth a crack.
Unsuccessful attempt. Okay.
Poor old El Toro.
Well, that is a lot of animal resuscitation.
Yes!
That's incredible.
You ask for animals that have resuscitated humans. We didn't get any.
Well, there is that one dog.
If you can believe it.
And if you want to see it, it's the cutest thing. It's out of Canada and we'll put it up on our Facebook page. It does have a little blue light on the back of its collar.
Extra cute. Big breakfast on Brisbane's Triple M.
Hey, I desperately need assistance from anyone who's a financial expert or just running your own small business. I was supposed to have a financial expert here. 133353, end of the financial year tomorrow. I was going to tell everyone and get that expert to help me. Can everyone inform, if you're running a small business or running your own small business...
Are you a bookkeeper or an accountant?
Or you're an accountant. Can you give us a ring straight away so we can spread the information with everyone else? What are the things you've got to do by tomorrow? So in terms of, you heard all the car ads. There's so many car ads. Every tradesman, if they've got any spare money, should be spending it so then you don't have to give it to the tax man. And this came in a few years ago trying to generate the economy. Spend 20 grand before the end of financial year and it's straight off the top.
So does that mean if you had like $100,000 hypothetically left in your account at the end of the financial year? Work with me with the figure.
Yeah.
Yep. Does that mean that the tax man can tax that 100 grand, but if you put it on a car or something to do with your business,
only get 80 grand. It's only 80 grand.
Okay.
I think it comes straight off the top, and that's where I was going to speak to an expert. It's 133353. I'll be needing your help very shortly. But
and is 20 grand the figure?
Yeah, up to 20 grand plus GST. So it ends up being $22,000. All right.
And then that's untaxable.
Some people will spend it on tools. I think if you've got an ABN, and this is where I need the help, I think if you've got an ABN, you're a sole trader or got an ABN, bang, away you go. That's why you'll go to Trade Tools or one of the tool places and just buy, you know.
Is that why the Mahindra's been outdated?
That's why I bought a car last week.
Can you make
exactly $20,000, which is my accountant told me, but I didn't get him to explain it full enough, and now I can't get onto him this morning. That's why I need someone to help me what we're supposed to do.
Okay, Luke of Bray Park, you run a small business. Can you help, Marto? What you got?
Yeah, certainly. Some of the things you've got to do is you've got to pay all your employees superannuation before the 30th of June.
Yep.
You've got to get all that up to date. You've got to do their group certificates, et cetera, et cetera. Also, you've got to, if you run a business which has got stock, you've got to do a stock take by the 30th of June or on the 30th of June to certify your stock. If you want any tax deductions, any amount, any purchases you do up to $20,000, you can claim immediately as in capital purchase, like equipment and that, spending money on your business.
Luke, that's come straight off the top, doesn't it? That's $20,000 you don't have to give to the tax man if you spend it. That's all I wanted to know.
Exactly right, yes.
Yeah, how good's that?
So you can't make that capital investment at BWS?
No. Well, you could if you're selling it again, I guess, but yeah. Yeah,
if you could justify that was helping your mental health and therefore ensuring the future earning capacity of the company, you could buy heaps of growth.
You could try it.
Yeah.
Not sure how you'd go, but you could try.
So is it a busy time? You run a small business, which I don't at the moment, but is it really busy for you today?
Yes. Yeah. I normally start at 7. I've been on the road since 5 to get everything out of the way so I can go back to the office and do all the paperwork.
Oh, yeah, leaving it to the last minute, as all guys do.
What, last question, Luke. Do you reckon we pay too much tax?
Always.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Everyone thinks so.
Okay, always. No.
Good on you, Luke. Best of luck with it today.
Yeah. Thanks, Lukey.
Thanks, guys.
I could have been better organised for that segment on financial advice. Should we do a disclaimer? Nothing of what you heard here has actually been...
Yeah. Well, it's not official, but is practical. Yeah. There you go.
And always be honest with the ATO.
When they invite you for a cup of coffee, that's not what they're after. Yeah. I desperately need help. Now, I'm taking one for the team. I'm going to our radio station is having a party tonight. We're aware of it. No one else is. End of financial year party.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a Christmas party, but partners are invited.
Yeah, which is not often the case with office parties. So this
None
is
of
a
us
great
have ever been, have
no.
we? We have never, ever gone to one of these parties because it's night time and la, la, la. Anyway,
is it a Christmas in July party?
It kind of is, yeah. Mm. So they all get very joyous. It's a fun place
it's
to work
fun.
Here.
It's really fun.
But we go home usually by 10:30, 11, and we're not a lot of the part of what happens in the afternoon. Anyway, my daughter's working here in the daytime doing promotions and stuff, and she has insisted that mum and dad come to the party. She's put me down. She wrote my name down, you know, Nikki, the girl who runs this joint. She has told Nikki I'm coming. Nikki has specifically got me some rum because
she knows the way to your heart.
Yes, and I said I don't want to go, and then she said it's fancy dress, and that's when I break out into a sweat. Hilly, it's an 80s thing.
We'll just go to your wardrobe.
Can I talk up?
That's partially true. There's stuff in there.
You'll be right in what you're wearing, mate.
What would you do? I want a 133353. I'll need help. Or has anyone got an outfit? Like Hilly's pulled one out from Top Gun, one of those flight suits. I don't do fancy dress.
Double denim you could do. Harry, high pants. Come on, you've got some jeans that'll go up to your ribcage.
No, I don't. Is there any listeners?
Loud
right
pull
now,
over.
133353. Have you got an outfit? I'll come round to your house and pick it up. Anything from the 80s. Like anything. David Hasselhoff. Yeah. Was he 80s?
We don't want to dissuade the motto by you coming around. 133353, 80s theme. Get on it. Give Marto a costume.
People have outfits. I didn't realise this.
Warwick Kappa.
Leg warmers.
Think
go
of
as
your
an aerobics,
aerobics
instructor.
When you were your aerobics instructor, the tiny shorty shorts.
I can find tiny
you could
shorts.
Doc from Back to the Future.
Oh,
how do you do that?
Just put a lab coat on.
Oh, yes. What about I go as Lethal Weapon, Kath can be Mel Gibson, I'll be Danny Glover.
Oh,
you're not allowed to do black
coat.
No, dangerous.
You really are. Do not do that.
Well, you
please
can go as Danny
me.
Glover, just say, I'm the wolf of the
street. And people go, who are you? But are you supposed to look? Wait, when you go to a fancy dress, everyone else will go to trouble. Should I do anything?
Yeah, but it'd be funny if you did.
No, I won't.
Like,
if
seriously.
You just write Danny Glover on your face.
Mark, give us a hand, mate. What would you go as?
Well, Boy George is back in flair, so grab your old Culture Club records out, go to Binnie's, get some ladies' clothing and wear them.
And you love Boy George.
You do. He's your favourite.
I can't cop Boy George. See you, Mark.
Well,
can't cop that. Like.
If you don't like Boy George, well done, why do you Mark. Walk around the office with a large blue felt top hat on?
Does that make sense?
Hold on. One more suggestion. I do love your suggestion, Robin, the aerobics. That'll
okay,
do me.
Noel of Kedron, what do you reckon? Hey, no.
I reckon you should go. You got there?
Yeah, mate.
Yeah.
As a man in his 80s.
Oh, that's clever. An 80-year-old man.
Yeah.
Just put 80-year-old man.
A bald. Hey, where do you buy that sort of stuff? A bald skull cap?
You get them from costume places.
Mate, you get it from the costume shop. Yeah. I got mine from the costume shop that used to be next to KFC on
Covent Grove Road.
That's not anymore, though.
No, it's not.
Oh.
It's a Friday night. All you have to do is drink rum and stand where you are doing wee in your pants. You don't even have to go to the toilet.
Big breakfast on Triple M.
Mate, what's this thing about your footy club, your old footy club?
Well, my footy club, Bayswater Junior Football Club, where I played until the sweet age of 18. As we already know, I've spoken about it because there was Strippergate down there, okay? They had a stripper down at the club. The senior boys had organised it and...
It was an end-of-year function, wasn't it? And the problem was...
No, it wasn't. It was kind of a middle-of-the-year kind of team-building exercise,
if you will. It wasn't a fundraiser.
But it's... Yeah, blokes would have paid to get in, but I think the senior players put in to get a stripper. And it's not uncommon thing to happen at a football club, though it is frowned upon now and it's not seen as part of the community thing that a football club should get involved in. Anyway, we've spoken about it previously on the show. But now the Bayswater Junior or Bayswater Football Club down in Melbourne has had to face the Knox City Council, and extraordinary measures have been handed down by the council to address the Strippergate, if you will. So this is what's had to happen. All right, they've gone to council because council own the oval.
Oh, they're leasing the land from the council,
as most football clubs probably do.
How far out of Melbourne? Just give us a bit of a picture.
It's 30 kilometres out of Melbourne.
Righto,
it's a light industrial, lower middle class area, okay?
Plenty of bogans running around?
Heaps of bogans running around. One. A lot of, you know, tattoos and no teeth.
Yeah, gotcha. Right,
and that's my mum.
poor Olive.
What are you looking at, mate? When she starts popping smoke rings, you run for cover.
Back to the strippers.
Okay. Which has nothing to do with my mum. No. So... the requirements that have been made of the club by the Knox City Council are formal apology from the club president, committee members and senior captain at a council meeting.
Who are they apologising to?
Well, there was a 16-year-old kid. That's the problem.
Oh, was that?
Well, the problem was that, obviously 16-year-old kids were there.
Oh, geez.
They saw something. They put it on their phone and they've Snapchatted and shared it on social media.
Jesus.
Parents have found out and hit the roof.
Yeah. Righto.
Yes, Robin, you've nailed it there. Parents have come and my son shouldn't see that. Well, how's he going to see it otherwise?
Ever heard of the internet?
Yeah, on his phone. Anyway.
Yeah, but live action. An internal communications policy to promote good principles of good governance. That's what the gender equality audit undertaken by an independent expert.
Oh, they're looking for equal number of male and female strippers next time, aren't they?
Very good. I like that, the equity audit. Get a poll in and get a bloke on it. A social media policy to ensure content is consistent with responsible consumption of alcohol and best practice in gender equality, which means if a 16-year-old gets a bit pissed, don't let him... tweet what's happening at the footy club.
If
the club fails to comply, this is unbelievable, it'll be denied the use of the oval for the 2019 season.
What?
So the councillors...
The council owns the oval.
...have voted unanimously that either the first grade team pass up a week's wages and pass it on to charity or lose points for two matches this year. It's unbelievable.
Why aren't you playing footy this weekend? Oh, strippers.
Strippers again, yeah.
Thanks for listening to Triple M's Big Breakfast Catch-Up. Thanks to Budweiser, official beer of the FIFA World Cup.